From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
The book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs is Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Jump down to verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I want to preach for just a few moments tonight on the subject of communicating with your children. I believe it's absolutely vital that we establish proper communication. And this generation is well aware. I don't think we need to listen to psychology. And our culture has taken a good thing like communication and twisted it to a degree where now they're telling parents to communicate with their kids. But what they're really saying is that you ought to listen to your child and allow them to make the decisions of the household. That's not what God's Word is talking about. It's the fathers giving the instruction to the children, not the children giving the instruction to the fathers. But I want to talk about three basic areas of conversation. And the first one is just casual conversation, because maybe this is the area where we don't really focus on enough, having just casual conversation with our kids. Now, there are some that are just naturally communicators, and there are some that are not. Most fathers want to talk to someone that has an IQ above 68. They can maintain an intelligent conversation, and usually mothers, by the time that husband gets home from work, they're exhausted with the childish conversations they've had to hold all day long, that 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, and they're ready for some adult conversation. But parents, especially fathers tonight, I want to encourage you to simply understand the power and the importance of being there and having some kind of conversation with your children. Let me just give you a few points before we move on to different areas of conversation we want to address tonight. I think it's important, very vital, that we notice and take advantage of those opportunities when kids are more likely to talk. That's bedtime, car rides, mealtime, there are times during the day when they're available, they'd like to talk. This is just the day and age, whether it's TV that's on, music that's playing in the background, a computer's on, someone's on their cell phone. How many of you have outlawed cell phones at your dinner table? How many of you grew up in a home where there was conversation around the table? You actually had meals around the table? They didn't come in a white bag. Meals weren't served outside the house. They were served inside the house. And you gathered around. You sat around a table. You had a conversation. We're losing a very important part of family life, which is mealtime. And mealtimes ought to include conversation. And parents, one of the best things you can do for your family is just make a basic rule that around the table, cell phones are turned off. The older those kids get, it's going to be more and more complicated, and there's no way for kids to communicate or want to communicate with mom or dad when they know they're on the phone. I promise during those 30 minutes together, the world's not going to fall apart. We either have a lack of interest in conversation, or we have an abundance of pride to think that we are so important this world cannot live without us for 30 minutes. Best thing you can do, anytime you go to the table, leave your phones in a different room. You're better to keep your children and lose your job than to lose your children and keep your job. And that's an opportunity, because we know our time during the day is very limited, and our time with our children is very limited. So when we have that moment of time together, boy, we want to make sure it's conducive to having some level of, now let me reiterate what we're talking about here. This is casual conversation. Normally, the time for instruction is not around the kitchen table. Occasionally, you got to instruct in the area of manners. That's understandable. But outside of that, this should be about your day and their day. This is a time of laughter. I enjoy when Kimberly and Grandma come over to eat with us, and it's always a time of just unlimited laughter. There's nothing serious that we need to talk about. Let's just get together and let's eat and let's laugh. Those are going to leave your children with great memories. The table's not a place to fuss and fight and solve arguments and deal with problems and address issues in their life. A dinner table, food should be fun. Make dinner and breakfast and lunch, whatever time you're sitting around that table, you ought to have havens in your home. Did you know you establish a psychology? There are places where I get to people and I deal with problems, and I don't go to that place for any other reason than deal with problems because there's a psychology. I don't want to take someone to a place that I enjoy and deal with the problem because it'll ruin the psychology of that coffee shop or that restaurant. I don't deal with problems at my living room or dining room table because my dining room table has the psychology of this is a refuge for my family and for our friends. And when we gather here, this is not about problem solving or addressing issues. This is about food, fun, and fellowship. And it's difficult to get a child to talk if they don't have the time they sit at a table and then there's a discussion and something's being addressed and what did you do and your homework was a disaster and I can't believe you got the merits. You ruined the meal. There are times and places to deal with that. I would deal with that in the office. I would deal with that in a different setting. I wouldn't draw everybody else in the family into a conversation about the misery that they had at school and the misery that they're going to have when you deal with this problem. When they're trying to eat corn and enjoy their chicken fried chicken. We're talking about casual conversation. I think vehicles ought to be a time for casual conversation. If my kids have a one-on-one time with their dad, you ought to take advantage. Some of you live farther away from the church than I do. I normally have a 10 to 15 minute drive. Some of you have a 30 minute drive. Those are key moments in the life of your children when you can be having a casual conversation sprinkled with a little bit of instruction. I know there are times in my week when I would not have the appropriate time one-on-one with Brittany if it were not for Starbucks. Her motivation has always been Starbucks-based. But I don't care what the motivation is. It serves a purpose of me being able to spend time with her and have some kind of casual conversation. And parents, if we're not picking those times and those places and looking for those moments, normally it won't happen. And it doesn't take but a couple weeks to become very distant from your children. It's hard to figure out where they're at, what they're thinking, and what they're doing. If there's not some kind of one-on-one time, and I believe there's time when it ought to be a family and a group setting. Normally that's more conducive for laughter. That's why it's important to have more than one child. Let me encourage you. 4 or 5 children makes more laughs. More babies equals more laughs. In the long run, not in the immediate. Parents, you ought to get in the habit of initiating conversation. I know some parents really, I don't know what century they're in, but they say, you know, well, if he needs to talk to me, that child needs to talk to me, they'll come to me and they'll talk to me and they'll pour out their heart and soul. No, you as a parent need to initiate casual conversation. I'm not talking about because mom mentioned the wrong that was done, you're going to initiate rebuke, but initiating just simple, casual conversation where that child knows Dad is interested in my life, in what I'm dealing with, in my friendships, in my schoolwork, and we're just having, and sometimes parents, this is tough, this is not me. But at some point I had to come to the realization as a father that instead of starting every conversation with a question like I'm a KGB officer or an agent of the FBI, they're guarded because they're saying, okay, what information is he looking for because there's a rebuke or a message about ready to come. So I learned sometimes instead of asking a question which will just provoke silence or concern, I need to simply talk about a thought I had. You know, I was thinking about, and initiate a conversation that doesn't put any pressure on them in their response, saying, okay, what is he digging for? What is this fishing expedition going to produce? And how am I going to end up in trouble by the end of this conversation? Normally, regrettably, there are a lot of children that think, if I have a conversation with dad, this is probably not going to end up well. Kids need to know there are certain moments and there are certain places, but overall, I can go to dad and we can have a casual conversation. It's a normal, important part of life. These kids need to know we're interested in their day. We're interested in their life. And the way to show that is by turning off the television, which shouldn't be hard to do anyways. You know, there's a point when we say, well, all we do is listen to the news anyways. If you have a struggle to turn off the news, after about 3 minutes, if you're not throwing something at the TV, parents, if you're having a casual conversation with your child, don't be checking your emails. Don't be responding to a text. When we're talking about a casual conversation, that means it includes laughter and smiles. That's casual. Well, this is my casual face. I just came home from work, and I'm stressed out, and it's not like I want to talk anyways. So what's happening anyways? Talk to me, son. I'm here. I'm listening. I need you to say something. That's a lot of pressure to put on a 10-year-old. A casual conversation starts with a little bit of wrestling, goofing around. So what happened? How'd you do? How'd you get that black eye? There's two extremes. I watch a previous generation trying to figure out the present generation. The previous generation of parents just had the philosophy. Dad had the philosophy. You go work 6 hours a week. You come home wiped out. And you address the kids when their behavior needs addressed. But other than that, you just pay the bills and make it happen. How many of you are part of that generation? Mom raised the kids, make it happen. And communication comes in the form of, you did that again? You, son, are in serious trouble. That was communication. That was about the extent of communication. And now, we have such an effeminate generation of young fathers. It's, what do you want? Tell me. Please be happy. Tell me how you can be happy. Let me know. I want to make you happy. We've got a mixed up, messed up world where you can still be a man, leader of your house, and yet have a conversation with that child. I hope your children feel confident in communicating. I hope they're able to look you up, communicate about their concerns, their worries, their frustrations. There have been times in life I found out about things that were going on in the lives of my children, and I had to examine myself and say, why were they not confident in communicating that to me first? And sometimes we don't even understand or realize. It's not like that we see everything we do in a mirror. So what to us is an underreaction to them could be an overreaction. The look on our face to them seems stern enough that I don't like that look, so I'm going to avoid telling them about this. And it's not that they're in trouble. It's not that there's corrective discipline needed. It's not that it's a bad moment. It's just our initial facial response is going to keep them from sitting down and having an open conversation with us. And parents, we have to say, I want to open up those doors and those avenues of communication where they have total confidence of walking in. And I remember when I first came here and we started counseling, and it blew some people out of the water. I'd be in there counseling, and in would run one of my kids. And Brittany would walk in the office. And I could tell it disturbed people. And I'd tell them, listen, those initial couple years when I first came here, I was working 70, 80 hours a week. I'd leave the house early in the morning, get home late at night, and I realized how my kids, and I'd have to tell people, listen, I can't lock that office door because if there's a need, I need them to know that they can come running in here. This is where I'm living at the moment. And they need complete access to me. I don't want them just sitting outside saying, well, when he's done in an hour, there's possibly a moment when I can get with my own father. And I know for some it was disturbing to interrupt the conversation, but somehow I had to find a balance, and I wanted to establish in our hearts and minds, if you need to talk to dad, this is a place you can come running in, and I'm going to be here. I can't be there for you every hour of the day. I wish I could spend more time at the house, But those moments we are together, I want you to know that you have absolute access to your Father, and I will turn off whatever interruption we have going on, and I can silence the phone, and I can shut the computer down, and I can push the books aside, and I can study later. But we need to have a conversation. Let's make it happen. I've had a lot more failures in that area than I've had success. I've had a lot more times where I look back and said, boy, I wish I would have communicated that a little more appropriately, properly. I have a much easier time communicating with Chris than I do with Brittany and Ashley. I remember one time specifically in high school, she was having trouble and mom said, you might want to go take a look, talk to your daughter. I walked in and Ashley was sitting there. I said, you okay? And she started, no. She started crying. And I did what all fathers do. I shut the door and I walked out and I said, I don't think I should deal with this one. I have no idea what to do. You go talk to her. Fathers, have you ever been there? If you haven't been there, it's because your daughter's not old enough yet. I guarantee there's no sermon, there's no book to read, there's no knowledge that anyone's going to give you to respond properly and appropriately. There's something about a woman crying that leaves a man utterly hopeless and helpless. He doesn't share that feeling. If a man had an emotional meltdown, we'd all be like, please get away from me. Wait, way away from me. So when a woman has an emotional meltdown, we're trying to think thoughts that are contrary to our nature. These are moments to express your love for your children and show love. Kids need to know they're loved. They need a hug from dad. They need some kind of verbal confirmation that you love them and you appreciate them and you're proud of them. And for most of us as men, that doesn't come naturally. And when I spit out any kind of compliment, my kids are waiting for me to finish the phrase. Okay, Dad, I look beautiful, but what? I need to change my outfit? I look beautiful, but I got a hair sticking up? Or what's the rest of the phrase? No, you just look beautiful. Okay, who's talking? Is someone else throwing their voice? Or what's going on here? I don't know a whole lot of men that just naturally know how to throw compliments around. You say, well, Brother Jay, no. I guarantee you, it took years to get to that spot. He wasn't born that way. Somehow he grew and matured over time and became the man that can compliment people and sound very authentic in the way he does it. But most of us, you know, we try to throw out a real compliment and then a smirk comes to our face. Or the whole family stops and turns around like, did that come from dad? These are casual conversation. We need to provide encouragement to these kids. We as fathers are professionals at correcting issues. I mean, men are all about, it's in our DNA, fix it. And sometimes we treat kids like a flat tire, a broken pipe, a burnout light. Okay, give me the ladder, give me the toolbox, we'll fix this, baby. And your wife's going, no, we don't want to fix it. You don't want to fix it? Then why did you tell me about it if you don't even want to fix it? We just wanted to tell you about it. Well, why would we talk about it if we can't fix it? Have you lost your mind? No, we just wanted to just kind of cry about it. Wouldn't it be easier to fix it? None of you have ever had that kind of conversation? Women don't want to fix it. They pretty much enjoy it not totally being fixed. That way they can cry about it because it's never truly totally fixed. Some of you sit next to your wife so you're nervous about saying amen or smiling tonight. Men, you don't need to take any of these pulpits out of the church and take them to your house and every time your kid comes to have a casual conversation, you pull your pulpit out and say, well, you know what it says in the book of Proverbs? By the way, I was cross-referencing that. It also said in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to give you three more verses before we go to bed tonight. And the kid's like, I heard that in chapel and Pastor Bob said that and then Pastor Robert said it and then Pastor Ben yelled it to me when I was in teens and then preacher yelled it to me and I've heard 14 messages this week. Can you just say, hey, how was your day? It's tough. I mean, when you work in maintenance all day, then you come home and you look around and you say, is there anything else to fix? Is there anybody else to fix? Mom, which one of these kids need fixed? That's not casual conversation. So there's a reason we talk about casual conversation first, because men, is so important in our homes simply to establish a daily habit of some level of casual conversation. That means without purpose, just enjoying our kids. And I truly believe that starts at a dinner table, and that goes through the evening, and it includes laughter, and it means nothing is addressed in a serious manner. Now, let's go to men's favorite part. Okay. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. That's what a father wants to do. I'm going to give this child some instruction. I'm going to give this woman some instruction. To give subtlety to the simple. Now, here's the problem. We know outside of casual conversation, then a part of our communication has to include instruction. Instruction has to be a normal, daily part of life. The key is for somehow, some way, to adjust our face. Now, the ladies, I promise you, men rarely look in mirrors. They don't enjoy mirrors. They don't spend much time in a mirror. And so when they're spitting out those words, they don't realize it's coming out with a grimace. They don't understand the seriousness of their brow. But a woman is looking at the brow. It's like, can you just listen to the words? No. You're angry. I'm not angry. I'm old. That's furrowed because of age. Marriage did that to me. Before I said I do, I had none of those lines, babe. I'm not angry. I'm focused. I'm not tense. I'm intense. But here's the problem. Somehow figuring out how to give instruction without it sounding like rebuke. And we understand, and have gone through the explanation, the biggest part of separating instruction from rebuke is the timing of it. So before that child ever gets started, you want to give them specific instructions that clearly explain how to do something and why they're doing it. Because if halfway through the job you step in your mind to instruct, no, the timing means this is coming out as rebuke. Instruction is previous to the job or the homework or the assignment being done. Rebuke is in between or at the end. So, you know what kids hate by nature? Rebuke. And their parents get to thinking, well, my child hates instruction. No, no, no. What you consider instruction is coming out as rebuke because of the timing of it. Instead of being told at the very beginning, this is what I want you to do. This is how you make the bed. This is how you scramble the eggs. This is how you wash the dishes. We don't want water everywhere. So we put the mat down, we put the towel out, and we don't fill up the sink all the way to the brim. Because if you do that, you put your hand in and the water comes over the edge like a tidal wave. But here's what happens. Go wash the dishes. The child comes up, fills the sink up all the way, then throws a load of dishes in the water. The water comes over the side. And then mom says, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Are you an idiot? That's what dad says, not mom. Now that's not instruction. Instruction is previous to the assignment. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. That's hand in hand, showing them how. Fathers, if we're honest with ourselves, we're learning on the job. And ladies, be patient with that man, because he didn't walk into marriage with already children in his past. Most didn't. That's so you want him to have 15 children in his past so that way he knows how to rear children. That's impossible. We don't know what we're doing. We're learning on the job. And it's not part of our DNA. I mean, good night. How many of you have seen the 7-year-old boy go to school with a doll in his backpack? You'd say, that's weird. He doesn't care about child rearing. He goes with a scooter, skateboard, a football. So then he gets married and he has a baby and he's trying to figure out, he's holding the baby by one leg. This ain't not gonna wet on me. You've been holding babies since you were 2.
He hasn't. He's got to figure this thing out. So as he goes to figure this out, he doesn't have that motherly nature. So a child at times provokes a frustration, and his frustration is a rebuke, comes out in the form of rebuke. Why did you do that? Well, the Bible says he did that because he's simple. That means his mind has nothing in it. He's like a computer. He has to be programmed. You're part of the programming process. Someone's going to program, someone's going to instill, someone's going to put things on that hard drive, and it needs to be you. But because a father is so easily frustrated, he allows, you know, he can deal with about 5 minutes of instruction, and then he'd turn the TV on and let the TV program this kid, and let the teacher program this kid, and let the world program this kid, and let... Why did you do that? Because that's the way he's been programmed. Somebody taught him that, or maybe no one taught him at all. So parents, at some point, fathers, the communication has to, in order to have a relationship with them and to be properly instructing, if they're going to receive our instruction, there has to be a level of communication first that's based on casual conversation. And then there's moments of instruction where we say, okay, let's go out to the shed. Here's what we're going to do. The average man likes to start out with an electric saw. You know, the kid's 2 years old. Okay, careful, this will cut your head off. You see this right here? This happened to me when I was 13. It's not a pleasant feeling. Honestly, if we're not careful, there's a lack of instruction because there's a lack of patience, and it's just not something innate within us. Is something we have to learn. And we have to grow in patience. We have to say there's a proper way to instruct, because otherwise our instruction is going to sound like absolute rebuke, and kids hate rebuke. And now when I'm trying to, when I think I'm instructing, they're taking it as rebuke, and all this is doing is building tension between me and them. And this is especially dangerous when they're in 7th, 8th, 9th grade and older, because about the time they're in 7th or 8th grade, we expect them basically to know how to do everything. You don't know how to change the oil yet? You haven't learned how to check the oil yet? You can't even start the mower? What do you mean? You don't know how to use a blower? All those failures are my failures as a father, because if they don't know how to do that, that means they were never instructed. Most rebuke that comes from a father is wasted words that provoke anger because it wasn't preceded by instruction. We just expected you to know, or someone else should have taught you that. So our anger is lashing out at our own failures. And if they didn't know, and if they're doing it wrong, it's 9 times out of 10, it's not an act of rebellion. Well, why didn't you clean that right? He didn't go out there and say, I'm not cleaning this right. I'm just going to throw it all together in one big box. And if he's not happy with it, so be it. No, they went in there and didn't know how in the world to organize it because no one ever told them how. But they went in about ready to have a nervous breakdown thinking, or they come out all proud of themselves thinking, I'm going to get a pat on the back. Instead of a pat in the back, they're getting a kick in the rear end because dad never instructed them. This is what we do when we organize the shed. This is how we cut the grass. And that instruction as parents, as fathers, we got to say, God, help me, guide me, because I've got, you know, if it's a young lady, thankfully, you can kind of push her off on mom and say, boy, I don't know what I'm doing. You got to help me out here. But if it's a young man, this all falls on your shoulders. If mom's the only instructor, that boy's going to be effeminate. And this, we already have enough confused young men. Let me just say this. God's not in the business of making hybrids. That's man's invention. All this crazy we got going on. Young men that are all excited because they bought a pair of pants that were two sizes too small. They learned how to wear something that cut off their circulation and show the veins on their legs. Happy to show the world that they weigh all of 68 pounds. That's not mental confusion. That's the result of a domineering mother and an absent father. Someone that wasn't there to teach that boy how to be a man. We're still Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible believing. This transgender society is the ultimate confrontation with God when they say, I've not only rejected His word, I've rejected the fact that you decided who I am. I'm going to become my own God. I get to decide who I am. No, God already put it in your DNA who you are. You can fuss and fight with that all you want, but God's already established that. You don't get to flip a quarter. Parents, you're going to deal with, if you're absent as a father and mom is trying to do both her job and your job, that's not going to turn out so well. We're talking about instruction, that's manners, that's obedience, that's respect, that's doctrine, that's responsibility, but it ought to be a normal part of life. And parents, you want to make sure, Dad, you want to make sure those rules and regulations and guidelines, that's all clearly defined. That's why it's so important to ask questions. Sometimes you clearly define it in your mind, but in their mind, it wasn't so clear. I thank God someone sat me down years ago and taught me the importance of asking questions. Look back at it, son. Now, what were we talking about? What did we ask you about? What did I require? What do I want here? And if he can't repeat to me, then I know if it was an act of rebellion or simple ignorance. Have you ever caught yourselves correcting something that was your own fault and you found out down the road that child was clueless, but you were angry because it wasn't done like you expected it to be done, and there was a lack of instruction, and we are correcting too often a lack of instruction instead of an act of rebellion, and that creates a bitter child. So, casual conversation, continual instruction. Number three, this will be short, controlled rebuke. How many of you have ever experienced uncontrolled rebuke? Now, if we talk about communication, there are times when rebuke, we know instruction has been given. They made a choice to defy the instruction. Now is a moment for rebuke. So I'm sure that they heard, I'm sure that they understood, they just chose to do differently. That was not permission from God for me to lose control of my emotions and my temper and throw a tantrum and let them become the lightning rod as I vent my uncontrolled emotions. Biblical rebuke for me to go in and say, wait a minute, this is not what we talked about. This was not the plan. This was not the instruction. Now, what was the instruction? Okay, did you follow those instructions? Let me say rebuke ought to be done privately. If you want to make rebuke counterproductive, you take a child and embarrass him. I don't care if it's in front of his friends or in front of his siblings or in front of his mother or in front of anyone. No child wants, none of us want to be shamed publicly. None of us want to be threatened publicly. And when rebuke is done in a public, I've watched parents, okay, when you get home, you know what's going to happen to you. He's right there in front of six of his friends. You know what you just created? Bitterness in the heart of a six-year-old. If you need to deal with it at the moment, I'd say, Michael, can you come here for just a minute? Can you give me just a moment? And you go to a place that's private where no one else is going to hold it. Michael, you know what? We've got a problem here, and your conduct is a problem. We're going to be here for another 20 minutes, and I don't want to see that behavior repeated. We'll talk about this at the house, but I don't want to see that repeated. Can you do me that favor? That's all that needs to take place so I can deal with this in private. But rebuke in public is only going to destroy your relationship, father, son, mother, daughter, parental relationship with your children. Especially the older they get. They may be able to deal with that when they're 4 or 5 or 6, but when they're 16, when they're 18 and they're dealing with public rebuke, that is not a good situation. Or they're dealing with rebuke and they know they're dealing with a parent who is, remember, all authority is given by God. When we take that role of authority, we're in the place of God. So we're supposed to be acting as God acts. How patient is God with you? Let me ask you something. Have you ever looked at someone that was doing wrong for an extended period of time, and you sat back and say, I wonder why God hasn't done something yet like lightning? So be careful. If we're not seeking to do things biblically and correctly and in a calm and controlled manner, have you ever caught yourself yelling? What lesson are we teaching kids if we're not under control? God, when he chastens and corrects and rebukes, he's totally under control. And we too ought to be able to say, nope, I've got to address this and I've got to rebuke. But this communication is going to be as controlled as my casual conversation. Proper, appropriate communication.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.